Hello, ladies of No BS. Welcome. I am Coach Lizzie, and we are here for our nighttime eating and drinking call. Welcome. Happy Tuesday. Happy middle August. Let's do this, right? So real quick, why don't you, if anyone is willing to go ahead and type into the chat, let me know that I'm actually, transmitting loud and clear. Tell me where you're coming in from and how's your Tuesday going so far? So excellent. Sounds like I am coming in loud and clear. We've got Christy's here. We've got someone from Chicago, Janet. Oh, yay. Dawn. Fantastic. Welcome, everyone. Hey. So, like I said, I am Coach Lizzie. If we haven't met before, hello. I am one of the private coaches here. So, I do private coaching and I love my private clients. There's just so much amazing stuff that we get to cover in private coaching. I also am the maintenance coach, and it's interesting. I had a number of coaching calls today, had a really interesting conversation about maintenance and regains that happen. So maybe we can have a ch quick chat about that. But this is live coaching. So if you would like to be coached, I would love for you to raise your hand. And then we can kind of, like I said, have live coaching and have a conversation. But so first of all, oh, I love this. We've got Michelle from Maui. Hey, Michelle. And Marilyn is here. Joan with New Jersey. Fantastic. Susan from Louisiana. I love it. Thank you, everybody. Welcome. Oh, and Marilyn just had a private coaching call with Coach Lisa today. Coach Lisa is amazing. And that's awesome, Marilyn. Way to invest in yourself. I like to say that investing in yourself is the investment that has the most return on investment because you spend the most time with you. And so if you can improve your relationship with you, I mean, that pays dividends every minute of the day. Like, right? So more on that in a second. Got a couple of quick announcements. Wanted to let you know to save the date coming up on September 14th. Is our weekend reset workshop. So Corinne is hosting a workshop from 10 to 3 Central. It's going to be amazing on weekend eating, weekend overeating, weekend all the things, right? Like how many times have you said, I'm so good all week. And then the weekend, I just reset it all and I start over again Monday. Well, if that's you, then September 14th from 10 to 3, your Fanny needs to be in the chair watching that Zoom with Corinne bringing the fire. So stay tuned for that. That, of course, is free for our No BS members. And it's just going to be amazing. The whole month of September is on weekends, which is, just going to be great because, of course, we all struggle with kind of adapting with the difference in the routine on weekends. Meanwhile, the month of August has been about stopping at enough, which is absolutely something we can talk about today. I want to hear about, how that impacts you with nighttime eating, because we know we should quote unquote stop at enough, but nighttime eating, nighttime drinking, nighttime CBD, whatever, we're like, I don't care. So let's talk about that. Go ahead and raise your hands if you'd like to be coached. And yeah. Christy says weekends come every week, so we can, perhaps learn how to deal with them. I for sure am up for that. One other thing I wanted to mention is we were talking a minute ago about private coaching, and Marilyn said that she just had her first session with Lisa. So great. We have five private coaches here, and one thing that I wanted you to kind of think about in terms of private coaching, MJ mentioned this the other day. She's like, if you need someone to kind of, well, I won't use the MJ phrasing because MJ, she phrases things in such an MJ way, and that's just not me. So I'll phrase it in my Lizzie way, which is if you need someone to lovingly, kindly, friendly kick you in the ass and hold you accountable to the things that you know you quote unquote should do, but just have a hard time actually doing, then private coaching is for you. Yeah, that's not exactly what MJ said, but it's sort of that way. Really, what's amazing about private coaching is I love that we get to customize the things that are, poignant and, important to you. Like today, I had 12 different coaching calls, and I talked to somebody who's a binge eater. I talked to somebody who's in maintenance. I talked to somebody who, she talked about her relationship with her spouse. I talked to somebody who talked about work. Like, all of it relates to your weight loss efforts. And so if you're like, yeah, I know the four basics and I know the things, I just have a hard time like being consistent, and I need a little bit of, either handholding or, like I said, lovingly ass kicking, because, an ass kicking can be very loving, I can tell you. But really, if you need that help for consistency, then private coaching can be the thing for you. And did you know that there's a payment plan with private coaching? Like, you don't have to shell it all out all at once. There's absolutely a payment plan. And if you have ever private coached in the past, or once you do 3 months, then you can come back for on a month-to-month basis. So, like, I've had somebody who used to coach with me. She just came back last week and she's on a month-to-month basis. And so once you have kind of established a relationship, and you can switch coaches as well, but like, it can be month-to-month after you kind of begin your original commitment. Let's see. Debbie asks, how long are private coaching calls? Great question, Debbie. So our private coaching calls are 25 minutes. And let's be honest, I kind of go like 29 minutes till my next call. But they're, 25, 30 minutes a week. But we also have our Slack channel, which is our platform where we communicate, during the 7 days between our calls. And I have, it depends on the client, but I have in-depth conversations with my clients in Slack that we can address a lot of stuff in Slack as well. And so anyway, lots of stuff. Is there a coach in the chat today? Nope, it is just moi. So, Laura, if you got a question, go ahead and put it in the Q&A, or hey, raise your hand, which I think actually you have. So we're going to get to Laura here in a second. But before we do, I wanted to talk about stopping at enough and nighttime eating. So again, stopping at enough, we know we should, but it's really not about knowing what to do. It's about what are the obstacles in the way of preventing us or getting in the way of doing what we think we know we should do, like stopping at enough. Why is it hard? So I would love for you to ask yourself, what's the obstacle getting in the way of me stopping at enough? And I was talking to a client earlier today. Shout out to my client. She knows who she is. And she has been working on not drinking as much over this last 2 weeks. And she has been crushing it. But I was like, how did you address those urges? Because urges are going to come along. And she's like, well, this situation, I told myself that. And, the other situation, I told myself this thing. And so she had, an answer for various different situations. But she was like, I would really like urges to go away. Can we do that, please? And I said, well, not, no, we can't. We can expect urges to come up. They are not a problem. They are a signal. They are simply your brain saying, I want to do what we normally do, or I want to meet a need. And I think that food, alcohol, CBD, whatever is going to meet the need that I have. Urges are so normal. Again, urges are not a problem. They are a signal. And so we were talking about like how to make the urge feel like less of a big deal. And I have two analogies for you. So one, I was like, all right, think of an urge like going to the dentist. Like, you're not excited probably about going to the dentist, but you also don't make a big deal out of it. It's not a huge drama, most likely. Perhaps you have an issue about the dentist, but for most of us, it's like, oh, it's time to go to the dentist. You have a like a 15-second pity party, and then you're like, all right, fine. And you just go. What if you treated your urges that way? Of like, oh, I really want that glass of wine. And you have your 15-second pity party, and you're like, all right, fine. It's a no. Like, I can handle that. You have lots of examples in your life of times that you have handled urges, particularly whether it's Corinne's great example is, you're in the grocery store and you just want to ram the person in front of you at the checkout line who's being way too slow. And you're like, would you just hurry up? And yet, so there's an urge right there. And yet you don't take it super seriously. Like you don't feel like you have to super resist. You're like, take a deep breath. I don't want to get arrested. I'm not going to actually throat punch this person in the grocery store. And so you have urges all the time. What is different about food? What is different about alcohol or CBD? You have urges all the time. Why is a food urge super different, super special? And so, as we were talking, my client and I earlier today, she's like, yeah, I get that. And the dentist is a good analogy, because I hate going to the dentist, but I just go. But, urges for alcohol just feel louder. And I was like, all right, what's something that's loud? And my brain works in analogies. Anybody who's listened to me long enough is like, Lizzie's got some wild analogies, that's for sure. So here comes another one at you. And I was like, and I told my client, I was like, I don't know how this is going to land. Let's see. And I said, imagine that your urge is like Will Ferrell, like Buddy the Elf. And he's super loud. And he's like, just, I really want a glass of wine. Yeah, probably didn't hear that because the Zoom would mute it. But anyway, like a really loud, big, Buddy the Elf is like, I just really want it. He's so exuberant. And you're like, oh my gosh, that's so cute. My urge is like Buddy the Elf. Of course I want it. And I can just kind of pat it on the head and be like, okay, it's all good. We're fine. So I think that, if you can imagine or almost like personify your urge as like Buddy the Elf in your brain, it does a couple of things. Number one, it like bing pops you out of being in it, of being like, this is a fact. I need a glass of wine. I need a slice of lasagna. I need the extra piece of cake, whatever it is in the fridge. It pops you out of this idea of it's a fact into like, oh, it's a thought. It's just a thought. It's a loud, exuberant, really enthusiastic thought, but it's still just a thought. So let me, yeah, exactly. It allows you to watch your brain. Yeah. All right, so Laura said that she accidentally raised her hand, but now I have called her name. So, like, Laura, let's go. It is on. Let's do it. Let's see if we can do some coaching, and we're gonna see what happens. But y'all, right now, Laura is the only one who has raised her hand, and she accidentally raised her hand. So lucky her. But hey, if you'd like some coaching, let's make this a little bit longer call than just a few minutes. So raise your hand, shall we? All right. Excellent. Hey, Laura. Let's see. If you can unmute and share your screen, that would be amazing.
I turned on the camera.
I just clicked ask to start video. Maybe you got a little
Okay.
button. There we go. Hi. Hello. Nice to meet
Hi.
you.
I don't know how my hand got raised.
Isn't that funny? Maybe it was providence, it was luck.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I was talking to my accountability partner about my issue, and she said, I'm just trying to get through the night on my shift in an hour. I don't have any advice.
I hear you. So, tell me, Laura, when do you feel like you have, do you find that you find yourself nighttime eating, nighttime drinking, anything like that?
I have a specific problem.
I
I'm
love it.
going
You have a
to,
specific challenge.
yeah, it's a challenge. I'm going to a barbecue potluck
Okay.
this Saturday evening with all of the neighbors. I'm a little nervous about it. I tend to overserve myself
Okay.
and help.
I am your girl. Okay. Neighborhood potluck. This sounds fun. So, have you ever been to a potluck like this before? Do you have an idea of what to expect in terms of what will be served?
Yeah, they sent out a mass email. They're going to do burgers. They're going to have all of the paper goods ready. They're asking everybody to bring a dish to share.
Okay.
We haven't decided yet, but we're going to Costco on Friday, so I'm sure we can find something.
Okay, great.
I'm a little nervous about it,
Yeah.
seeing everybody. But
Sure.
it's the summer get together, and these are fairly new neighbors.
Yeah.
They just started year round last winter, just when we started going to California for the winter. So I don't know them very well yet. I think if we talked to them maybe twice
Okay.
ever.
So that's really helpful information. So you got a couple of things going on here. Number one is a social setting. And anytime you're in a social setting, it's harder to stop it enough because your brain is paying attention to the external stimuli rather than like, how does my stomach feel? How do I feel internally? So even if you're with your family, even if you're with the most comfortable friends you've ever had, a social setting is a little bit more challenging to stop it enough because your brain is just paying attention to what's outside of you rather than what's inside of you.
Okay.
On top of that, these are new friends. These are new acquaintances. And so there is some perhaps discomfort of like, I don't really know what to talk about. I'm not sure what we have in common. So there might be a twinge of very natural, very normal social anxiety going on there, which could, your brain might say, ooh, eek, we're uncomfortable. You know what would help? Let's eat. So just knowing that in advance is just really helpful to know. Before I
Okay.
keep going, what's coming up to you for you?
Well, the email went out to 13 neighbors. So I know everybody else except the new people. And we have talked to them
Okay.
on the neighborhood walk, and they're very nice.
Okay, awesome. So there is some comfort level with a number of people there.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. So that's helpful. But, nevertheless, in any kind of social situation, it's harder to stop it enough because your brain is just paying attention, like I said, to what's going on outside of you rather than what's going on inside of you. So we know that in advance. Great. So we can plan for that. Next, I asked, do you know what's going to be served? So we got some burgers. There's a potluck. So people are bringing their various things. You don't know exactly what they're bringing. You know what you're bringing. There's probably some desserts and so forth.
Yeah, desserts are my downfall.
Okay,
I have a
let's talk
sweet
about that.
tooth.
So you can have a strategy for a potluck, for a social situation that can help you enjoy yourself while not going crazy and feeling like on Sunday morning, ugh, why did I do that? So why don't we start with desserts? What would be a dessert that someone could bring that you're like, oh, that's a 10. I'm going to have that every single time. And what would be like a five, where it's like, it's okay.
That's hard for me to judge because I have such a sweet tooth.
Okay.
Yeah, desserts have always been my downfall.
Okay.
I thought of something. I think I've seen a coaching call where somebody was talking about a potluck type of party. And she used something that was really helpful, the red velvet rope.
Yes. Yes.
So I remembered that this afternoon.
So you tell me, how do you interpret the idea of a red velvet rope? What does that mean to you?
Something that I probably wouldn't get very often at all.
Okay.
Something special. That's basically
Gotcha.
it.
Okay. So I love that tool, and I have one that's basically the same thing. I just call it something else. So I call my version of the red velvet rope is like a seven or better. So here's the tool. It's if Laura, if you could rate all the desserts at the potluck, let's say there's cookies, there's a pie, and there's a cheesecake, maybe brownies too. Okay. So you got cookies, pie, cheesecake, brownies. Each one of those you rate on a scale of 1 to 10 for you individually, Laura. So on a scale of 1 to 10, one being it's soggy and gross, and I can easily say no. 10 being it's amazing. I would say yes every time and love my reasons. So cookies might be a where, you know what, on a 7 to, excuse me, 1 to 10.
Probably five.
Okay, cookies are a five. I can't remember the second thing I said. Cake? Pie.
Pie,
Pie. Okay, so let.
cheesecake, and brownie.
Okay, great. So pie, pick your favorite kind of pie. What's your favorite kind of pie?
Well, up here in Montana, that would be Huckleberry.
Okay. I was recently in Montana. Lovely state. So, on a scale of 1 to 10, where's a huckleberry pie for you personally, Laura?
Probably a 10.
Okay. All right. We
They're
got a
only
10.
available a certain time of the year, and they're very expensive to
Okay.
pick, to sell.
All right. And so then we've also got a cheesecake. A cheesecake on a scale of 1 to 10 would be what?
An 8. I love cheesecake.
Okay. And I don't know why, but I can't remember the fourth thing that I said.
Brownie.
Thank you. Brownies, scale of 1 to 10. These are like Betty Crocker brownies.
I probably put that at like a 4.
Okay, cool. So you've got four desserts, and you said yourself you're a dessert girl. But Laura, I'm gonna say you might be a discerning dessert girl because you got cookies are a 5, huckleberry pie is a 10, cheesecake's an 8, and brownies are a 4, right?
Yeah.
So they're not all the same. So now, of the four options of dessert, what is worth it to you?
Probably the cheesecake and the huckleberry pie.
Amazing. Yes. So the tool I like to use, like I said, is called Seven or Better. So you take the food, whatever it is, whether it's desserts, burgers, fries, anything, rate it on a scale of 1 to 10. 1 is gross, 10 is amazing. The demarcation line between 6 and 7 is a pretty good kind of boundary. If it's a 7 or better, you're probably going to be pretty happy about your choice. If it's a 6 or below, you can ask yourself, why am I eating this? Is it just because it's in front of me? Is it just because I have this diet mentality of I never get this? I never get this Betty Crocker, brownie in a box? And you're like, wait a second. It's a 4. Do I really want this Betty Crocker brownie in a box? Is my diet brain telling me I need to get it now because I don't have it very often? All right, it's true. I don't have it very often, but it's a 4. Do I really want it or do I want that huckleberry pie? And so you get to discern what's worth it for you. How's that land for you?
Yeah, that's really good. I like that. The brownie, it's too chocolatey. I might even put it down to a 3 now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah,
It's
which I
just
love that you mentioned that.
massive amount of chocolate. It's just too much.
Yes, ex and sometimes there's a food, like for me, my thing is cookies. Cookies are a 10 for me, but they gotta be good cookies. And you don't always know. Like sometimes you can look at it and be like, that looks like a 10, looks like a 9, but you can take a bite or two and then assess and be like, is this the chewy, soft, moist kind of cookie that I really love, or is it more of a Chips Ahoy kind of crunchy thing that's been stale and sitting around for a while? And so, just like you said with the brownie, it might be that it looks good, but you have a taste or two, and you're like, actually, this is a 3. And you can decide to put it away because you are discerning and you eat desserts that are 7 or better. How's that feel?
Feels good. Our next door neighbor makes the best chocolate chip cookies. And
Well,
she
I'm ready for
usually
my
brings
invite. I
those.
want to come
So,
over.
yeah, but she does make them and give them to us,
Yeah.
whenever she puts them together. So I could get those at another time or one of their potlucks.
Yeah. So
So,
let's
yeah.
look at your potluck altogether. So you're coming into a social setting. You know already it's going to be hard to pay attention to your internal signals. So, because of that, you can have a little bit of a hack and say, instead of trying to wait and see, am I out enough? Maybe I just serve myself a little less to start with. And then I have a very natural boundary of like, once I finish what's on my plate, I got to pause and see, do I want seconds? So, how's that sound as a first strategy?
Yeah, I like the pause.
Yeah. So, in social settings, particularly when there's a buffet and you're serving yourself, it can be a really positive strategy to start with a little less so that you don't have to worry about paying attention to enough. Now, the second layer of that is let's look at the dinner type food. We're going to get to dessert in a second. But the dinner type food, similar kind of idea. What's really great and really worth it to you? Is it the burger? Is it the bun? Is it the coleslaw? Is it the potato salad? Each individual like piece of the meal, what's actually really worth it and amazing, and what's just kind of extra? So as you're thinking about the food that might be at the potluck, what would be, seven or better, super worth it, and what would be just there?
Well, I don't think I will have a burger. Red meat and I don't get along.
Good to know.
So that would be like a two. I would skip that.
Gotcha.
And well, I guess everybody's emailing back and they mention what they're bringing.
That's
Like,
helpful, so you know in
kind of be
advance.
prepared ahead of time.
Is there anything that someone's bringing that you're like, ooh, I definitely love that?
Somebody's bringing potato salad. I
Okay.
like that. But I could probably make do with just a tablespoon at the most.
I mean, do you want to, or do you want to have potato salad as like your burger, your main part of your meal, and just a little bit of something else?
I don't like the feeling of being full.
Okay.
It's uncomfortable. I immediately regret it. So I think I'll do like you said, serve a little less of the things that look special, the homemade things.
I love that. So you're already being discerning about the things you would put on your plate. So the homemade potato salad, you're pretty sure the burger is not for you. So you got the potato salad, maybe there's, corn on the cob, just some other things that might feel good for dinner. And so you're managing the serving size of your dinner so that you can enjoy the desserts that are a seven for, or better for you. Hypothetically, a huckleberry pie and cheesecake. So let's talk about dessert. In our imaginary example, we've got four dessert options. You've decided that two of them are less than a seven. So the cookies and the brownies, do you feel okay passing on them?
Yeah.
Okay, amazing. So, but the huckleberry pie and the cheesecake, they're worth it. So how do you decide how much you want?
Well, there's usually silverware there, so I can slice a pre-sliced one in half.
Okay.
So I get enough of a taste. I can do that. I would probably mangle the pie if I tried to do that. Maybe share it with my husband.
That's an interesting idea. Okay.
Yeah.
So, a strategy that I try is I know that in the moment, my in the moment brain, she is very impulsive. And, like, I'm not as much of a swear, but like, she's the asshole of the group in my brain. She's the one that's like, no, I definitely want more. Our
Yeah, I
planning
bet.
brain was stupid. Yeah. So, what I do in advance is I say, okay, asshole brain, I know that you're going to show up in the moment and say, I want more. I don't care how much I've already had. She will say, I want more. So, what I do is I say, let's say it's the huckleberry pie and the cheesecake. How much would be amazing and super satisfying? And how much would I regret the next day? So if I fast forward to the next day and I had two pieces of cheesecake and one piece of huckleberry pie, would I feel like that was amazing and satisfying or too much? I'm like,
Too much.
yeah, you get to decide. Anything works for you, but like really identify how much would I regret tomorrow? What's that demarcation line? Do you have a thought on the pie and the cheesecake?
Yeah, one serving and maybe half a slice of cheesecake.
Okay.
It's pretty rich. Yeah, because we're sharing it with 13 families, so I don't want to take more than my share.
Okay. So when you have thought ahead that, like, if I have more than one piece of pie and more than a half a piece of cheesecake, I would regret it. Then in the moment when asshole brain shows up and she's like, Of course, we want another piece of pie. It's Huckleberry pie. We never get this. This is so special. You'd be like, yes, of course, but I'm going to regret this. We already thought ahead about this. Do I want to regret this tomorrow? And that's just enough of a pause. You may still decide to have it, but it still gives you a chance to make an intentional decision rather than a reactive, impulsive decision.
Yeah, that's good advice.
Nice. I
Yeah.
often do that with drinks of like, okay, I'm going out to XYZ event. How many drinks would I feel good about that feels satisfying? And how many drinks would I regret tomorrow? And I kind of have a fuzzy zone between two and four. Like two is fine, four is too many. And it's like three is like maybe. But I know that if I've had three, asshole brain got a little bit of a say. She could have her extra, but like it's a hard stop at four because I know I will regret it.
Yeah, I think I've already thought of the alcohol. We may even be bringing our alcohol. So, my husband just went to Costco and got several bottles of wine. So we would probably bring one of those.
Okay.
And with wine, I can stop at two.
Okay.
And
Gotcha.
I would bring a plastic glass
Yeah.
because I hate glass. Around other people, I'm afraid to, drop it and shatter
Yeah. Yeah. So we've talked through the various different options at your potluck coming up. How are you feeling, and what still has you concerned?
it. I'm feeling a lot more secure about it.
Nice.
Yeah, I think, initially I might be a little nervous to be around all the people, but it's a fun group of people.
Yeah.
Nice neighbors.
Right. Let's also give you a little bit of a strategy to help you feel a little bit more comfortable. So, as you're walking into the party, you haven't yet gotten into a conversation. You might likely be feeling a little nervous. Do you have any familiarity with some nervous system regulating tools to help your nervous system feel a little more settled?
Listening to Coach Kathy's calls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a tool that you tend to go to that you like more than others?
The deep breathing, one I've learned through the Calm app that I have
Nice.
is inhale for four, hold for two, exhale for six.
Great.
And I
Okay.
do that one, and I've realized I'm actually breathing deeply because I tend to hold my breath a little bit
Right.
without thinking about it.
So the reason why I'm asking you this is because you can anticipate some, minor nerves as you come into a social setting. I know I would. And so you can proactively visualize yourself and plan for a quick little breathing exercise prior to getting there. Do you plan to drive or walk to this potluck?
Oh, everything's within walking. It's a small block
Great. That sounds
in
lovely.
the country, so.
Okay. So if you were to do a quick breathing exercise before you go, would that make sense like at your home before you leave or like quickly before you get to the place? What do you think?
Probably on the way.
All right. Yeah. Can you imagine yourself doing some, brief breathing exercises to settle your nervous system as you're on your way?
Yeah.
Nice. And so what we're doing, the whole reason why, well, not the whole reason, but often a reason why we eat past enough is because our brain is like, alarm, alarm, I feel discomfort, let's fix it. Food helps us escape. Food helps us feel numb to the discomfort, to the, nervousness and so forth. And when you can proactively expect that and plan for it and have those breathing exercises, you can take that alarm that's going on and say, hey, it's okay. We're safe. And then that basically allows you to have access to your prefrontal cortex, your thinking and your planning brain again, and you can be like, "Oh wait, I already plan ahead for this. I got an action plan. I am good to go. Let's go."
Yeah, that sounds good.
Cool.
All this helpful advice. Thank you,
Nice.
Coach Lizzie. That's wonderful.
You're so welcome. Well, have an amazing time at your potluck.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I think it'll be great.
Excellent. Well, I love that you brought this up. I think that just kind of planning ahead for a potluck is so relevant in the summertime and it's really helpful. So thank you for accidentally raising your hand and getting coached so that other people can be prepared for their various potlucks as well.
Okay, thank you. I don't know how
Awesome.
that happened, but I'm
Yeah,
glad
it
it
worked
did.
out. It was, like I said, it was Providence. All right. Thank you so much, Laura.
Okay, thanks, Coach Lizzie.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, so good, right? It's really interesting how we often have like these kind of social settings where like I can't even plan ahead. I don't know what they're gonna serve. And the tool of a seven or better is sort of to have in your back pocket that can apply to anything of like you have no idea what's gonna be served, but you can once you show up and you're like, all right, I see what's here. On a scale of 1 to 10, where does this rate for me? And so that tool applies to any situation and you can use it in the spur of the moment. It is always in your back pocket. And there's so many different ways you can use it. All right. I love that Alexis has raised her hand. So let's get Alexis up here and we'll do some coaching. Fantastic. Alexis, if you can unmute and share your video, that would be fantastic.
Wow. Okay. I don't know how to turn the camera on because the feature is off. Should I go to another device and.
Well, I just clicked the button to ask you to
Oh.
start video. You may
Oh,
have gone
great.
on
Okay.
or
Yeah, I see it. I see it. And it says unable to access camera. Allow Zoom workplace. Okay. Go to settings. Okay. Here we go. I think I go to settings
Okay.
and I microphone camera. I do it.
We'll see. You may have accidentally turned off your audio. Oh, and Alexis has raised her hand again. So let's see what happens. I think we got some settings going on here. So, Alexis, if you're able to get your audio back on, we can just coach without your video. Or you could leave the meeting and come back on and raise your hand again, and I'll promote you again and we'll figure it out. Let's see if this works.
Okay, yeah, when I went to do the camera, yeah, sorry about that.
No worries. So I can hear you. So we can coach this
Perfect.
way if you don't have to turn on your video.
Okay, I'm in trouble right now. Yeah, so I bought a bag of Tostitos and because you can't get them in single servings, it's only the big family size bag.
That is true. Yeah.
And I listened to the other lady talk. I wish I had that problem where I don't like to be full. I don't know. And I feel so bad the next day. Lizzie, I feel so bad.
Yeah.
And it's calling to me. So I tried after I heard you talk, I closed the bag, but it's still calling to me. Help.
Okay. Alexis, are you ready for one of my favorite secret ninja hacks?
Yes.
Here it is. Single serving bags.
They don't make these in single servings.
Alexis, you are a no BS woman. I know that you can figure out a way around this. Do you have Ziplocs?
Yeah, of course.
Creativity, my dear. So, single serving bags can work in two different directions. So they can help you have more of the food that is like better, best, and have less of the food that's more good, but kind of calls to you from the pantry. So single serving bags has absolutely been the it's like single most effective tool in helping me eat more vegetables, helping me eat more better, best foods because I chop up a whole bunch of vegetables, takes me like 6 minutes, and wash them all up, and then I put them in Ziplocs, toss them in the fridge. What that does is it makes it easier for me to grab a healthy snack rather than the crappy snacks that are in my pantry. And so I have a little bit of a game with myself of like, you can have the crappy snacks after you have the vegetables. And
Look,
I've done this enough.
let me be honest. I know I shouldn't be at this place, but this is where I am. I cannot keep food at home unless it's healthy food, because if I know it's there and I don't have children, so it's not like, I need to keep it around or anything like that. So that's the problem. The Tostitos are here now, and I usually want to eat it until I finish it.
I totally respect that. All right, so the Tostitos are here and they're calling you. Let's use the same tool that we talked to Laura about. And you're in the moment, so this is great. So, Alexis, tomorrow, if we could time travel and talk to, what is today, Tuesday? So, Wednesday, Alexis. She has time traveled back through the portals and she is here in this conversation. I say, Wednesday, Alexis, how much of the Tostitos would be great and how much would you regret? What would her answer be?
Don't do it. You know how bad you're gonna feel.
Well, no, let's talk about how much. Is it
Oh.
zero? Is it half the bag?
Yeah, I've already had more than half the bag, so I should really stop now.
So Wednesday, Alexis is saying the amount we've already had is plenty. If we have more, we're going to regret it. Am I understanding that right?
Yes.
Okay, great. So again, we're time traveling. We are speaking to future you. And she says, if you have more, you will regret it. Now, but she is in the future. So she doesn't have hands that can work in the present. So she's giving you advice saying, if we have more, we're going to regret it. So how do you want to, help her out? What do you want to do to address that tonight?
And thank you for taking my call, because just the fact that I could pause, right?
Yeah,
So,
exactly. That's already a win.
you know what I'm going to do? I am going to go throw it down the garbage chute, because no amount of money is worth it, for how I'm going to feel tomorrow. So that way I won't be tempted and I'll just throw it away. I live in an apartment, so we have garbage chutes. So it's not like I can go back and retrieve it. So that's what I'll do.
And I want you to know that this is a totally viable, helpful strategy. Like you are helping yourself. If this feels good to you and this feels good to tomorrow you, this is amazing. Coach MJ has talked about how she helped herself stop, or drink less wine. Is that she would have the amount of wine that she wanted from the bottle and she would pour out the rest. And part of us is like, oh, how could you waste all that wine? It's wine. And she was like, I would rather pour it down the drain than pour it in my body. And it was
Right.
just her way to help herself get used to moderating the amount of, in her case, alcohol that she was having. In your case, it's Tostito chips. So if that feels like a loving, helpful action to you, it's amazing. It's great. Where are you at with this right now?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. 'Cause that's my issue. I just don't know when to stop. Like that's I'm especially nighttime eating and stopping. I don't know. Yeah, wow.
And I totally get that because, Corinne talks about like momentum eating. It's like a train is already going and it is hard to slow that sucker down. And so sometimes you need an emergency break, and the emergency break can be throwing it down the garbage chute. One thing that I have done in the past with a thing like chips or crackers is like crunch them up into tiny, tiny, like powdery pieces. So I'm like, this is not even worth the effort. And yes, I have like licked the bag, but after a while, you're like, all right, it's okay. Anything you can do to help yourself, and just you're proving that it is okay to finish with two chips left in the bag. It is okay to finish, and say like there is still five chips left, and I'm willing to throw it away right now, and it's okay. Amy in the chat says put water on it. That's an interesting strategy.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
And so in the future, Alexis, how do you want to handle a bag of Tostitos that somehow found its way into your house, and I can't,
We
I
don't
don't
know
feel like
how.
I
It
can
just
say
knocked on the
no.
door.
What was that?
It just knocked on the door. Yeah.
Isn't it crazy how they have a way of doing that? So the Tostitos invites itself in, and you and the Tostitos have enjoyed yourselves. And then, like, how do you want to use tonight as a beautiful learning moment to how to inform you in the future?
I will, instead of eating out of the bank, I will take a normal portion and then just throw the rest away.
Okay. When you say put all the rest away, does that mean it goes in the pantry?
No, sorry, I said throw the rest away.
Throw the rest away. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So what I'm hearing you say is you could pre-portion out this is how much would feel super satisfying. And I know more I would regret tomorrow. So I'm going to have this amount and then I'm going to throw away the rest. Great. Amazing. How's that feel?
Yeah, it feels good. It feels really good.
Yeah. And Alexis, I really want to kind of commend you for your courage to acknowledge that there is a food that feels a little bit like it's got a little bit more control of me than I have of it. We all have those foods. And so right now, what feels safer is just getting it out.
Yeah.
Fully support that. At some point in the future, you might feel inclined to experiment with using the Fuck It Foods worksheet with your chips, with your Tostitos. And you could even write to us in Facebook, write to us and ask coaches and say, I'm gonna use the Fuck It Foods worksheet with my Tostito chips. I feel a little nervous because they feel like they got a little more control of me than I have of it, but I'm gonna give it a try. And you can experiment with eating them slowly and intentionally and tasting them and being like, who, what is so amazing about them? And any answer is okay.
I once did that with chips, and you know what? I stopped eating chips because when you just have like one really slowly, it wasn't even that good.
Isn't that
But
crazy?
I'm not quite there with the Tostitos.
Totally respect that. Yeah. And what's interesting is that's happening is like your brain has this definition of like Tostitos equals awesome. Like the fireworks are going off in your brain. And what's interesting is the reality of Tostitos may not actually live up to your ideal, but your brain is like, I don't want to know. I just want to eat them really fast. Don't tell me. I don't want to know. And that's normal. It's okay. And so, like, as you're beginning to trust yourself, you can say, I'm gonna throw away the extra and have my portion. But eventually, if you feel comfortable, you could try it with a Fuck It Foods worksheet and just eat it a little bit more slowly and be like, is it quite the party in my mouth that my brain thinks it is? Let's find out. What do you think?
Why is it that I never think of tomorrow? And I'm very well aware that I'm gonna feel bad tomorrow, and I just throw it all out the window.
That's a great question. And here's why. It's because our brain it has developed in layers over eons that like we've got a very primitive brain, that's the survival brain. Then we have our limbic system, that's the emotional brain that wants comfort. And then we have our most recently evolved brain, that's our kind of thinking, rationalizing brain. So not always, but a lot of times at night, we are tired, we're stressed. And so our fight or flight system is a little bit more activated. And basically, if you almost think of it like a gauge, I'm envisioning like a thermometer of like, the bottom is the red and you go up, it gets green. And so at the beginning of the day, we're all green. We have access to our prefrontal cortex, our planning brain. We're like, today I'm gonna be good. As the day goes on, you get more stressed and you're like, ooh. By the end of the day, your survival brain is basically at the wheel. It's the part of the brain that's like, I am in charge now. I want to feel good. I want to feel comforted. And I do not care about my plans. That's why you don't think about tomorrow, because your survival
Wow.
brain is in charge.
That is so accurate because I never overeat in the mornings. And it's like I take public transit. I live in a city with 9 million people, and there's always, it's really bad. There's just, anyway, I won't get into detail. So I get really overwhelmed. So yeah,
Yeah.
usually when I get home, wow, okay, that makes me feel better about myself that I'm not like a total idiot.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It is. It's biology. It's not willpower. It's basically your biology is like, oh man, I've been dealing with 9 million people all day. I'm a little fried. I just need to feel safe. I just need to feel comforted. And the way I do that is through food. And tomorrow me will deal with the consequences. I do not care. Right now, I just want to feel safe. That's what's happening.
So what in future, let's say when my husband's not at home right now, but let's say he cooks and he's a really good cook and he serves. So he'll serve me a normal portion, but the thing is, I know it's in the pot. So usually like late at night, I sneak some. How can I not do that?
How can you not sneak the extra food at night?
Yeah.
It's a good question. So remember when I was talking with Laura and I talked about the breathing? Do you remember that part?
Yes.
So what I was doing, so what we did with Laura was we helped her, we were talking to her planning brain and like, let's make a plan. But then I talked about her breathing because I was basically talking to her survival brain, that lower brain. It's like when you are getting ready to go into a social setting, you're going to be nervous. You're going to be anxious that your fight or flight has kind of amped up. And so your survival brain is a little bit more on alert, being like, I don't know, my spidey senses are feeling a little funky here. And so that's why I had her think about, let's do some breathing exercises. Let's do a nervous system regulating tool to help your body feel a little bit more safe. So in your case, you go out there and you slay it every day. And in the process of slaying it, you deal with a lot of stuff. You deal with a lot of people. And your nervous system is like, ha, it's been a lot. And so you can anticipate that by, I don't know, 11, 2, 5, 7, 9, you're going to be in survival mode. And your brain will just want to feel safe and comforted. And the way it feels safe and comforted is by going to the potluck at night when it's, secret and safe and no one can see you. That feels safe. And there are other ways to proactively help your nervous system feel safe with some of the nervous system regulating tools that Coach Kathy talks about on her Feeling the Heart Stuff calls. But we can even talk about a few right now if you want. How would that feel?
Yes, please. Yes, please. And
Sure.
excuse me, when are those calls that you mentioned that she does?
They are once a month on Tuesdays, and I am looking up the next one, or
It's okay, I'll find it.
no worries. So the most recent one was Tuesday, August the 5th, and I don't necessarily have next week's one, but I think it's the first Tuesday of every month
Okay, great.
this
Thank you.
time.
But yeah,
Yeah.
please tell me the strategies.
You bet. So I would encourage you, Alexis, like it is pretty predictable that by the end of the day, you're going to feel tapped out. So you don't have to wait till you feel stressed. You can just plan in at 4 o'clock every day. I'm going to set an alarm on my phone, my watch, whatever it is, where I'm going to take a breath and have a moment to practice a nervous system regulating tool. Here's two of my favorites. So the first one is something called VOO breathing. So it's V as in Victor. Oh, then you make that sound, voo. So you take a big deep breath, and you voo it out. Perfect. You're already winning. So like you make, as you exhale, you make that sound, voo. And I would encourage you to do it 4 or 5 times because here's why it works. There's two reasons. Number one, when you exhale longer than you inhale, that's signaling to your nervous system that you're safe. Because you're not running away from a predator if you can exhale longer than you inhale. Then, that kind of makes sense. I'm not running. I'm like, whew. It's almost like a big sigh. The second reason why this tool, the VOO breathing, signals safety to your body is because the VOO, the sound, vibrates your vocal cords, which massages your vagus nerve, which is all the way, it's a big bundle of nerves all the way through the front of your body. And that like little nervous system massage is like, ah, we're okay. It's almost like a little bit of a bubble bath for your nervous system, being like, ah, we can relax. And it's not going to take you from a 10 to a 1 in terms of like anxiousness to total calm, but it can definitely take you from like a 9 to a 6, an 8 to a 5, and it can just help you settle a little bit. And then it helps your body have a little bit more resources to go back to that planning brain and being like, Okay, do I actually want to go and have the, the after dinner snack? Do I actually want to sneak some food? Is tomorrow me going to feel great about that? And for sure, immediately you is going to be like, I don't care. But it just gives a little window of an opening for tomorrow you to say, hold up. Are you sure you want to do this? So try it 5 times. Definitely try and let like your shoulders drop. So you're as you're breathing out, you go, whoop. Let your shoulders drop. Nice long out breath. So that's one tool. The second tool I really like. Do you want to try it right now, Alexis?
Yes.
Amazing. Okay, let's do a little fun exercise. So real quick, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 is I am super calm and very chill. 10 is I am super anxious and super amped up. Where would you rate yourself right now?
Seven.
Love it. Okay. Are you
I
ready?
was a nine before the call, so yay.
All
Okay.
right, we're already making progress. Okay, so I want you to turn to your left and look at the wall to your left. Okay, turn to your right, look at the wall to your right. Look over your screen, look at the wall in front of you. Now look up at the ceiling. Okay, so within the walls of this room, Alexis, are you safe?
Yes.
Okay. Is there any threat to you physically in this room and where you're at right now?
No.
Okay. And so the things that are concerning you, are they in your physical presence or are they in your mind?
In my mind.
Okay. So what this does is it kind of helps you acknowledge that the things that are stressing you out are thoughts. You are not physically in peril within the four walls of this room.
Right. Yeah,
Let's
that's
take a big
really
deep
good.
breath together. Big breath, ready? Now I want you to re-rate on a scale of 1 to 10. 1 is super chill, 10 is super amped up. Where are you at?
Four.
Right? Just looking at the walls.
Amazing.
You're going to feel more comfortable.
Oh, this was so helpful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're so welcome, Alexis. And I would love it. Love it, love it, love it. If you either ping me in Facebook and say, at Coach Lizzie, you coach me, and here's what's going on for me. If you're struggling with anything, send us a note and ask coaches. We absolutely want to help you, with nighttime eating and help you just feel that kind of just a little bit safer so that you're giving your prefrontal cortex, your planning brain, a chance to have a say in the decision making.
Thank you so much. And really quick question.
Yeah.
We in Ask Coaches, I did my first post, and it seems to me there's different people replying back. Is it different people?
You are absolutely right.
Yeah,
Yes.
I could tell. Yeah, it was not. Yeah, okay.
So what we do is we kind of have it all comes to one place, and we have coaches that will go in and answer, as we can, and we try and get to all the questions with definitely within 48 hours. We really try and do it within 24, and so it can occasionally be more than one person that has answered your same question, but you can actually look at that as like a bonus that you're getting different perspectives. And also, I have had private clients who have said to me, I brought my question to ask coaches and it just, the coach didn't know my context. But once we got into private coaching, Lizzie, you were able, like, we were able to get to know me, able to get to know my context, and we can kind of jump past the whole introductory stuff and like really get to the deep thing. So that is also an option that, like in private coaching, you can really
Okay.
address your specific, unique context.
Thank you so much.
You're
Thank you.
so welcome, Alexis. Thank you so much for raising your hand and for being here tonight. Giving you some hearts here. Amazing. Okay. Anything else? Nope. I think we're all good. All right. So, Alexis, I'm going to put you down to attendee. Again, thank you so much for raising your hand. And she even got her audio to work. Terrific. Everyone, if you ever have a question about anything we talked about tonight, please write to us and ask coaches. You can always ping me in Facebook, say at Coach Lizzie, here's what's going on. It's just all right. Ready? Cheesy time. One of the things that I have loved so much about being an OBS coach is that Like, we genuinely get to help you with the root cause of things that are challenging to you. And oh my God, you deserve to feel good. You deserve to feel amazing. And the scale is not what tells you that. Like, you get to decide what makes you feel good. And, you get to be in charge of your choices. And that's why I love No BS, because it is not rules. It is a framework of action steps so that you get to be in charge of your life. You get to decide what's a seven or better for you. What's a seven for me might be a three for you. And that's the beauty of it. You get to be in charge. And so here's a question I would love for you to think about. I've talked to a couple clients about this lately. What is the difference to you between control and trust? I would suggest that a diet and following the rules of a diet is about control, whereas the No BS framework of actions is about figuring out how to trust yourself. And that is so much what I want for you. Because once you trust yourself, then you're like, hello, world. I'm here to kick some ass and I'm here to be me. And that's what all of you are here for, is to shine your light and be you. So get out there and kick some ass. All right. Whew. Have a great night, everybody. Thank you so much. Take care. Bye-bye.